American Family Radio.
Hey, if you're looking for family-friendly entertainment or resources to strengthen your walk with God, there's one name you should remember: American Family Studios. We don't just want to bring you shows, movies, and specials that will entertain or build up your family. We're committed to honoring God by making them both biblically sound and of the highest quality possible. Check us out at AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
For American Family News, I'm Chris Woodward. President Donald Trump plans to meet with his Chinese counterpart next month in South Korea. Trump also wants to visit China in the early part of next year. The two leaders spoke over the phone today. Topics included TikTok and trade. Two American cities may lose federal funding if they don't do more to fight crime on public transit. Here's Fox's Evan Brown.
The Trump administration says it could withhold funding for transit systems in both Chicago and Boston if leaders in those cities don't take additional action to ensure safety for riders. The U.S. Transportation Department cites a report on Chicago's Transit Authority and the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority about passengers being injured by assailants. One elderly woman was seriously hurt recently in Boston when shoved off a bus. Chicago and Boston's transit systems are the third and fourth largest in the U.S.
Local officials in those cities have said that cutting federal funding will make riders less safe. A Texas public policy expert says there is no appropriate response to Charlie Kirk's assassination other than violence is never acceptable. AFN's Robert Thornton has this story.
The Texas Tribune reported that the Texas Education Agency, or TEA, is investigating more than 280 complaints against teachers who have been accused of making inappropriate comments online about the death of Charlie Kirk. Some educators have been punished. The TEA said any firings or other disciplinary actions would have been at the school district's discretion and said educators could have their certifications suspended or not be allowed to teach. Sherry Sylvester is with the Texas Public Policy Foundation.
The teachers' representatives have said that the state is trying to silence dissent. There's no dissent in terms of violence. Violence is not okay. You can't suggest it's okay because this guy believed this or he believes something you disagreed with. But it doesn't matter what he stood for. It doesn't matter if you disagreed with him. We don't shoot people in this country for their opinions.
She said it begins at colleges and universities.
Higher education is the source of all this ideology. That's where we've gotten DEI. That's where we've got the indoctrination of the country being divided between people who are oppressed and people who are oppressors. Our universities are where we train our K-12 teachers.
I'm Robert Thornton.
Flooding and mudslides have buried roads, damaged homes, and trapped drivers in several Southern California communities. Authorities say the mudslides affected Forest Falls, Oak Glen, and Potato Canyon in San Bernardino County. The mudslides happened after heavy rain, and the National Weather Service has issued flash flooding warnings for that area. New details released after a black student was found hanging from a tree at Delta State University. Details from Fox's Sue Guzman.
The Mississippi State Medical Examiner's Office Thursday releasing autopsy results in the death of DeMar Travion Trey Reed. They say that Reed's cause of death was hanging, and they've determined it was a suicide. He was found hanging from a tree on the campus in Cleveland, Mississippi on Monday. They say toxicology reports are pending, something that could take up to 4 weeks to get back. There were concerns that Reed may have been a victim of a lynching when his body was found, but officials say there was no evidence of foul play. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump, meantime, says he's going to lead an independent investigation.
Gen Z has seen its credit score drop more than any other generation over the past year, largely because of student loan debt. A new report from credit scoring company FICO found the average credit score for a Gen Z American is 676. A credit score is a mathematical formula that helps lenders determine how likely you are to pay back a loan. In final news, Apple's new iPhone 17 lineup is officially in stores, including the company's thinnest phone, known as the iPhone 17 Air. Apple has also released brand new AirPods Pro and Apple Watches. Find more news on AFN.net.
The biblical principles our nation was founded upon are under attack.
They're trying to change the whole course of our understanding about the way things are, about our own country.
Sandy Rios.
They're trying to untether us from our Constitution and certainly from our God.
Trust Sandy Rios to bring you unfiltered, insightful commentary from a Christian worldview. Find her podcast titled Sandy Rios 24/7 online at AFR.net.
It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you're having a blessed day and a wonderful day in the Lord. This is Alex McFarland along with Bert Harper. The show is Exploring the Word, and we're so honored that you're listening. And on Fridays, Fire Away Friday, that is the day that all hour we take phone calls, and we would love to hear from you. The number is 888-589-8840. Well, Bert, we haven't, I don't think, announced where we're going to go next, but did you enjoy our study of the pastoral epistles, completing with 2 Timothy yesterday?
I really did, Alex. And again, being a pastor myself, I spent a lot of time not just studying, but trying to see what it had for me as a pastor. And it was beneficial then, and now it's still beneficial. And it's amazing how many times you go over this, you see something, oh, I see how that works. I see how that fits. And that's the power of the Word of God. So the answer is, yes, I enjoyed it. And listen, okay, we've talked about it. We're going to stay in the New Testament, right?
We are going to stay in the New Testament, and I had my notes out this morning. We're going to go, and if you want to read ahead, we'll begin on Monday, but we're going to do 1 and 2 Peter. And Bert, I don't know, how long has it been since we did those books?
Okay, let me look back. I've got them. You know, in the Bible, you have the books of the Bible in most Bibles.
Yes.
And so by mine, in this one that I keep here at AFR, I put the dates of when we went through the different books, and we went through 1 and 2 Peter in 2021. That's the last
really?
Time. Yeah, 2021.
Wow.
So it's been 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
Recently.
Yeah. If y'all remember right, didn't you teach 1 Peter at the Cove?
I did.
I think that
summers.
Was the year. I think that yep. was the year that we did that. By the way, the phone lines are open. And so you can be the first one to call 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you today. Alex,
yes.
can I read a verse of Scripture that I just wanted to get in today?
Please do.
Okay, it's from Psalm 85. It's a psalm of revival, prayer for revival, verses 10 through 13. It says, "Mercy and truth have met together." That just overwhelms me because that's what's got to happen. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, yes, yay, yay. I say it again and again. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. But Alex, is only in Christ do we have the mercy and truth and righteousness and peace meeting together and kissing one another. And that's through Jesus Christ alone, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And let me encourage you, this is Fire Away Friday. We'll take your Bible questions and calls here in just a moment, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. But please plan on being in church Sunday. Just that's the Lord's Day, and I think we need to be in church every Sunday. And look, this would be a great time to invite somebody to church, especially young people. You know, Bert, all afternoon I've been on the phone. I had a great talk with Pastor Stephen Evans at First Baptist Carthage. I'm going to be there Sunday, and then Sunday night through Wednesday we'll be at a school auditorium there with the Leak County Crusade, an evangelistic crusade. And so if you happen to be near Carthage, Mississippi, or Leak County, I'd love to meet you in person. But I was talking to several pastors. In fact, got a message from Tim Todd at Revival Fire, and we were texting about how hungry people are. And with all of the goings-on in the world, I know, you know, front headlines has been the assassination of Charlie Kirk, but there's been violence or some officers tragically shot in Pennsylvania. People are wondering about life and death and eternity and what could restore our nation. And it's Jesus.
Only Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a time that, you know, as recently as a couple of years ago, a Lifeway study, 86 to 88% of Gen Z and younger were saying they would, quote, strongly consider going to church if somebody invited them. Bert, that's 9 out of 10 almost. Amen. And I would say by now it probably is 9 out of 10 or more. So be in church on Sunday. Invite somebody to church. They'll go.
Amen.
All they can do is say no, and it's probably that they won't say no. So yeah. I think these are not easy times in which we live, but there are times of gospel opportunity.
It is. And when they get there, those of us that are believers, greet them. Greet one another. Share with them. If they're sitting by you, make note of it and speak to them. And you don't have to go overboard, but you do need to have that attitude of hospitality. That's a command from God. And just do that. And sing with, man, make the worship. It should be special. We're meeting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, Alex, if we're not careful, routine will become something of a monotony. And listen, the privilege that we have of gathering together as God's people in one place to lift up the name of Jesus, don't take it for granted and do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That goes for worshiping as well. So anyway, that's my sermon for Friday. Okay.
Well, it's a good one. It's a good one. Well, I think Brent Austin is going to start us off today. I think Brent has a question. Brent, do you have it?
This is actually a pretty good question. This comes from Jamie. She wants to know if you guys think the apostles kept notes throughout their journeys and put them together individually as a book afterward, or wrote them afterwards completely through the power of the Holy Spirit with no notes.
Okay. I can say for sure about one, Alex.
Yeah.
Luke.
Yes.
Notes or a journal, no doubt a journal. And I kind of believe also when I read John and the specifics there, I think John may have been a note taker as well. What do you think?
Well, you know, Luke said he had perfect understanding from above. Anathan. And I think about also John 14, 25 and 26, where Jesus said regarding the inspiration of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit will remind you of all things whatsoever I have told you. And so let's not forget there was the inspiration of Scripture, the Holy Spirit reminding the disciples. Now, I will say this, that there is the idea that there was oral tradition, they called it. You know, Bert, I'm sure you were taught in school, I know I was, about Mark. Maybe there was a document that the first gospel was Mark.
Right.
I don't know. I know the content is from the Holy Spirit. Don't you believe that?
I believe it with all my heart, but that would not exclude journals and note-taking. You know?
Yeah.
What is more real, oral or written? You know, so if it's the history of what's happening, we know Luke investigated, talked to Mary. So you think he might not have had there something to make your, you know, so I that's my thoughts. And it would not diminish it. If they took notes in journals, it does not diminish the inspiration of the Scriptures.
One last thing, then we are going to go to calls. And by the way, the number is 888-589-8840. Okay, just as Jesus is the incarnate Word, fully God, fully man, but not fallen man, I think that the Bible is both divine and human. But let me just say this. Just as Joseph did not impregnate Mary, Jesus was virgin born, had no sin. I think that while human penmen were the writers, but you know, it's in the hundreds. It might be 330 some times that you read this phrase, the word of the Lord spoke, and his word was on my tongue. The word of the Lord came to me. Thus saith the Lord. So while, you know, there was Moses, Amos, David, Solomon, Luke, Paul, even though God gave his word and humans wrote it down, in no way was it tainted by any sinful ideas or human fallibility. The Son of God is perfect divine. The Word of God is perfect divine.
Amen.
Lord, I believe that.
Amen.
Well, let's begin. We're going to go to Louisiana. Tony in Louisiana, thank you for holding, and you are the first caller on today's edition of Exploring the Word.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Blessed. Hope you are.
Yes, I really appreciate you guys. You know, as you guys came on, I tuned in. I wanted to ask a question, you guys, a question about revival. And then Brother Bert started saying, hey, I need to read a scripture about revival. So I immediately got my confirmation from you guys. And I want y'all to pray for me and pray for our church. I'm going to ask an evangelist, Brother Bill Britt, a full-time evangelist, to come to our little church in Calhoun, Louisiana. And I want to get all of the local churches in the community involved. And I know the answer to my question. Do revivals still work today?
Amen. Well, I hope they do. I'm going to start one Sunday morning at Faulkner Baptist Church here in Northeast Mississippi. Looking forward to it, just preparing, talk to the pastor. They've been praying. And I do. I believe God's looking for the opportunity to break out. And what that scripture says of verse 6 of Psalm 8, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Alex, I still believe it. I still believe when God's people gather together seeking him in prayer, confessing their sins. Again, James makes it plain, man, when we get together, we don't need to be haughty and proud. We need to confess who we are in Christ. So I believe God will honor his word. What about you?
I absolutely believe revival is possible. And yes, there's got to be prayer. And, you know, I'm starting a revival with Stephen Evans at First Baptist Carthage Sunday and a crusade. One of the keys, one of the absolute keys, and boy, we have seen it, and it's possible, is unity within the body of Christ.
Amen.
And get all the churches together that you can and reach across the aisle. Keep it all about Jesus. But when churches come together, I think the power and the presence of God is just unleashed.
Amen. Way to start off this question, you know, about revival. And Alex, we don't have a lot of time left before we go to the next. Let's pray for that. I want to pray for you there at Carthage, and I'll pray for Faulkner as well, and for Tony. Father, I pray that your word would go forth in these meetings. We call them revival, and we're praying that they would be revival. And I pray for Carthage, First Baptist Church in Lee County, and the crusade. God, may you bring so many souls, and I pray they would tune in to you. Help Alex as he delivers your word. Father, for Faulkner Baptist Church, and just looking at there, being there with them, Father, may your Holy Spirit just work strongly. And for Tony there in Louisiana, getting those pastors together, we're praying, God, that you would do your work, and may revival begin in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be back right after this break. I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant.
sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option, until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the key word baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
You're my defender.
Amen. Jesus is who we need, and he is enough. We had a caller, and they could not stay on long, so Richard passed this on, so I'm just going to make it real quick. Exodus 8:10, this is when the frogs came, and man, and then when we talked about this earlier, when the magicians, they had just added to the frogs. They didn't take away the plague. They added to the plague, and so it says in 8:10 that when they ask him, Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want them to go? And he says, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. God took them away. But have you ever heard a sermon, One More Night with the Frogs, Alex? He could have said, right now.
Yeah,
he could have said, what? No, today, right now, do away with the frogs. And he said, tomorrow. So it's one more night with the frogs. So that's... is again, but let it be according to your word. And God took the frogs away, didn't he?
He really did. He really did. Well, folks, we've got a full call board, but you can still try to get in. 888-589-8840. Foster in Oklahoma, you are our next caller on Exploring the Word.
Appreciate you taking the call. My question is, it comes out of John, I believe it's chapter 19, verse 11, and I was always told that there's no such thing as big sin and little sin, but Jesus, I think he's referring back to the Pharisees, committed the greater sin.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering about how do you get the greater sin if all sins are equal?
Matter of fact, Alex, I'm jumping in here. Our producer, Brent, and I had this discussion earlier this week. All sin is sin and separates us from God. But there are sins, and you can read Proverbs 6. You can see all that. That yes, some sins have not. I don't think just greater consequences. They are, well, God says they're horrible in His sight. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him. So I'll put it this way to make it right: sin, no matter what it is sin and separates us from God and is wrong and needs to be repented of. But some sins, Alex, they. Man, they're pretty high on the list, you know? What would you say?
Well, yeah, and, you know, especially as Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious hierarchy that was increasingly against him, and frankly to Herod and Pilate and the ones that he appeared before as he was accused, they had so much revelation. I mean, we all sin, that's right. But the people in that day had an unparalleled level of accountability. The Hebrews had their scriptures. Even the Romans, Bert, I've read a lot of church history, that the Roman Empire, I know Rome was an occupying force in the Holy Land and even Jerusalem, but they had a respect for Israel because it was almost like the Gentile nations they understood the God of Israel was the true and living God. And in spite of all this, standing in front of them was God incarnate, Jesus. And yet they would reject him. Talking about the greater sin is, rejecting the light you have. And when you have more revelation than any other people group in world history, and you still reject, that's pretty serious, isn't it?
It really is. So, Jim, sin is sin, but there are sins. When you read the scriptures, Alex, I don't see it come out any other way that, if I turn God down the first time, and he comes back and I turn him down the greater time, Pharaoh's sin seemed to grow when he turned away from God. You catch, yes. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Foster, thank you for that.
Let's go to Jim in Ohio. Jim, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you very much for taking my call, gentlemen. It's an honor to talk to you.
Back at you, brother.
The reason for my call was related to Psalm 111. And I think if it's right, in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Praise endures forever. Fear of the Lord is not the kind of relationship that I want to have with the Lord. Fear of wrath, fear of doing something wrong, that I understand. But I'm struggling with having a fearful relationship, and I'm wondering if you can help me with that struggle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me give an illustration, Alex, and you take it away. Is that all right?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. I loved my dad. My dad was a godly man, a good man. But there was some fearful respect for him. Not afraid of him. When he walked in the room, I did not turn away. I did not run. I would run toward him. But at the same time, there was this knowledge of who he was. He was my dad. He was the one with correction. He's the one that that would take care of business when I went the wrong way. So there's this honorary reverence respect for my dad. Alex, we run to the Father. That new song, Run to the Father, because that's what we need to do. But it's in respect, in a fearful respect by which we do that. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I could say that about my dad, too. I think about, when I was working for James Dobson, he was great. And he was joyful. He was fun. He was so kind to us. Working at Focus on the Family under James Dobson was a joy. But I want to tell you, we had such a respect for him that we were always on our toes. That's probably not a great illustration. And we know, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we know it means reverence. But C.S. Lewis, somebody asked him about it, and he said, it's only rational to fear God. Does God love us? Of course. Is he full of grace and patience and mercy all day long? But he is the most powerful being in the universe, the eternal King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And just like with a parent or a beloved employer, it's just only right to show reverence and fear, really, isn't it?
It really is. And that's what it means. It's not a scared. That's not the word, scared. It is that fearful reverence. And you put those together, and I think that's what you come up with, Alex.
Yeah. I'm going to go to a call that's been on hold for a while. I want to go to Trent in Ohio. Trent, are you there?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. What you got?
My wife's seen some videos, and I think it's Catholic, talking about 3 days of darkness coming, and the only light is going to be blessed beeswax candles. Have you guys heard anything about that, or seen anything, or what's going on with this?
Let me comment on this. I'll put it this way: the Catholic Church officially does not have a position on this that I've ever found. There have been some Catholic writers over the years that have alluded to the days of darkness. Now, most people think it's out of Revelation 6, and I think it might be Revelation 6:21. See, during the tribulation period, there are plagues on earth that, Bert, at least to a degree, mirror some of the plagues in Egypt. Was that Exodus 20 that, in the book of Exodus, the plagues, and one of the plagues was a fearful, frightening darkness. And during the tribulation, there'll be 3 days of darkness over the earth. And most church historians think that there have been at least two kind of famous Catholics over the centuries that have talked about 3 days of darkness coming. Might be part of the tribulation. Now, this thing about beeswax or candles, let me just say this, and I'll throw it to you, Bert. Be careful about stuff like this that is not prescribed by Scripture. It might be kind of folklore or legend, but I want to say this. When you've got the Holy Spirit in you as a born-again believer, you've got the light of God's presence and God's Word and the witness of the Holy Spirit. And first of all, Bert, we're not going to be here during the tribulation anyway. You know?
Amen. Amen. Well, what you have, you see this in the prophecy concerning Jesus himself. You have some scriptures in the Old Testament that demonstrate some things that was happening then, but it was really came to fruit in Jesus Christ, you know? And this in the judgments, 3 days, I agree with you fully. Alex, we eschatology is one of those things that we have to have some grace with different people. But listen, knowing that God is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, no matter where we are, when we are, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Regardless of how you view eschatology, if you do it like Alex and I do, we're pre-trib, pre-millennial. If you don't, you still see that in Alex. So that's the light is in God in us. And praise the Lord for that light that shines in the darkness.
The plague of darkness was in Exodus 10, not 20. I misspoke. It's in Exodus 10. And then the counterpart of it would be in Revelation 6. But believe in Jesus. Keep your eyes on that eastern sky. He's coming soon.
Hallelujah.
Blessings, Trent. Tucker in Oklahoma. Tucker, welcome to the program.
Hey, yeah, guys, I had a question about how free will can coincide with a God who's the creator of everything and also knows everything. That one kind of stumps me, and I was wondering if you guys had any insight on that.
Okay, just let me say, Tucker, a lot of folks, great theologians, have wrestled with this, but what was it that Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, and then take it away, Alex?
Well, yeah, and even in the time of Spurgeon, 130 years ago, they were debating, you know, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. And Spurgeon said, the funny thing, the more people I witness to, the more people I bump into that turn out to have been elected. But let me say this, and hands down, the best book on this, he would be the first to tell you he didn't peel the onion completely. But the late Norm Geisler wrote a book, Chosen But Free. And it was published by Bethany House, very reputable, good Christian publisher, Chosen But Free. But here's the thing. Free will is the ability to make moral decisions. And Bert, you and I recorded, I don't know if it's aired yet, but in the aftermath of the shooting of Charlie Kirk, you and I recorded a show on a Christian response to the problem of evil. And one of the things we say in there, that God gave angels and humans free will. And the technical word is volition, V-O-L-I-T-I-O-N. Now, here's the thing. God knows what we're going to do, because by definition of omniscience, he knows everything. But that doesn't mean that we aren't free. And the Bible says, with every temptation, God will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. So let's say somebody could lose their temper about something and want to get revenge or be vindictive or something. They don't have to do that. In fact, I suspect every person that is in that momentary wrestling match of sin or righteousness, the Holy Spirit is calling, calling, calling. So God always offers the right way, but he doesn't force us. And Bert, I'm going to say this, I'll throw it back to you. I think to have a legitimate relationship with God, free will had to be a part of our human nature. I mean, there can't really be love without the element of choice, Bert. Am I right?
You are right on. And again, can man completely comprehend it? As you said, Norm Geisler, a great apologist, a great thinker, the absolute truth is no, it is. Spurgeon also said it's like standing on a railroad track and looking at two tracks, but when you lift your head and start looking, they become one, you know? And I believe that with all my heart. Only God could do this. Just like we read from Psalm 85, truth and mercy have kissed each other. In Christ, the sovereign God and the free will of man, he brings them together, Alex. Yeah. Only God. Let me just say that. Tucker, if you're looking for an answer that, oh, man, there's always some mystery there. I'll just tell you, Tucker, and I've learned to live with that mystery. If I didn't have some mystery in our God and I could understand it, he would cease to be the God of the Bible. I just tell you that. He is bigger and wiser than we could ever dream or think.
Amen. If we have time later on in the show, I'm going to share an illustration that I think might be helpful. But right now, I want to go to Catherine in Louisiana. Catherine, welcome.
Hi. I just love listening to y'all's show every chance I get. And I wanted to share a testimony of something that happened to me on June 20th this year. I live on a farm, and I work with farm animals. And I was opening a gate to let some horses into a pasture, and the horses ran over me, and I was being trampled by horses, and as I went down, I cried, Lord, help me. Immediately, I was airborne. Now, I flew through the air, guys. Not my imagination. I landed some 20 feet away from where I was, where I had started, and I landed on my back. I was uninjured. I checked myself out. I wasn't.
Amen. Catherine, the music, we're getting that. We're praising God. And I just want to tell you, I've had some not quite that significant. Yes, God intervenes at some of those times. Not all, but some. Catherine, thank you. We're going to be back with more right after this break.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is...
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. President Trump's administration has announced an initiative calling all believers to pray. It's called the America Prays Movement. each believer is invited to gather with up to 10 other believers to pray together for our nation once a week, every week, from now until the 250th celebration of our Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 2026. What would happen in our nation if millions of Christians set ourselves to cry out to the Lord in all manner of prayer on behalf of our nation and fellow citizens? Prayer usually precedes divine outpouring.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. What a great day on Friday, taking all these questions. And hey, before the break, this lady was given a praise report about how God rescued her from getting trampled by some horses. And our God is able, and we rejoice in that. I believe that was Catherine, sister, that break came on top of us. I apologize, but we rejoice with you of that rescue that God spared you from. Amen. Getting injured.
Alex, Brent yes. kept on talking to her, and I'm telling you, God is good. He brought her back. She has a few things that need to be overcome from the accident, but yet God answered her prayer. And while we're at it, Robert called in and talked to Richard, and his daughter is seriously sick, ill, and wanted us to pray. He didn't give her a name, but Robert's daughter. You know who God mm-hmm. knows who she is, so I wanted to pass that on to.
And before we go to Malachi in Arkansas, pray for Doug. A gentleman named Doug who just found out that he has bladder cancer. Don't know how serious, and there's a couple of ways they treat that. But and this man needs to really give his life to Jesus. So, folks, if you would pray for Doug in Arkansas, Malachi. Thanks for holding and welcome to the program.
Well, hello. The assassination of Charlie Kirk last week. I've just kind of been thinking about that. And I remember the story from the Bible where Jesus, he was in the midst of the crowd and they were trying to push him off the cliff. And what he did was he went through the crowd and he went on his way. And I'm just wondering if that has anything to do with, if we need to just step back from this when our nation is becoming increasingly divided.
Okay, Malachi, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. There's a very important term, listen to this, especially in the book of John, you get it. About three times he would say, my hour or my time has not yet come. And that was one of those times, Malachi, when Jesus, he wasn't ready to be made king. He wasn't ready to be arrested and put on trial. He was in control. Just remember, Jesus was in full control of everything, even up to the end of the crucifixion. And so when you see about Charlie Kirk, God, even though evil happens, God ultimately is going to bring it about in his time. And I don't think it's a time to turn back. His name of the ministry or organization is Turning Point. And I don't think they need to turn around. I think they need to keep on turning and taking us in the right direction. Alex, would you give that to Malachi as well?
Yeah, and Malachi, I just want to say thank you for listening. You sound like you might be one of our younger listeners, and I just want to say with all my heart, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
Amen.
And as all through life, every believer, you know, we are Christ's representatives, aren't we, Bert? And to individuals and even to our culture and our world, the world needs the witness that God shows forth through our lives.
Amen.
And again, Malachi, thanks for listening.
Malachi, let me give you one more. Read Hebrews 11 and see all the ones that God delivered with great faith. But then at the end, you'll see those that were not delivered, but they had the same faith. And so, you know, God is there, and that's the whole idea. We keep going with God. Thank you, Malachi.
Also in Texas, Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Yes, I love you guys and listen to you whenever I can. in the book of Job, I know in chapter 9, verse 13, it mentions Rahab. And a couple other places in the book, it also mentions Rahab. Who is, I know Rahab's in Jericho, but this wasn't Job written prior to the Exodus? Who or what is Rahab referring to in these different scriptures there in Job?
Okay, which scripture are you saying? Do you recognize the reference, Alex?
Yeah, Rahab in Job is not the Rahab that's in the book of Joshua. But Rahab in the book of Job, and we went over this just this past summer at the Cove in Western North Carolina, the word Rahab in Job is this, it's actually a sea monster. It might be, it actually is probably, might be a dinosaur, like Leviathan, but the God with great forces subdues this powerful, chaotic sea monster. Might even be pictorial language to describe satanic evil versus the power of God. But Rahab is a word in Job that is referencing this powerful, might be pride, might be arrogance, but it talks about the helpers of Rahab who cower beneath God. But it is not the Rahab, the harlot, that gets rescued in the book of Job.
Okay, let me read it in
The book of Joshua. Yeah,
let me read this in the New King James, 9:13. God, this reason I didn't get it, what he was talking about, God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. So, you know, they went ahead and did what you just said and translated it in place of Rahab. The proud, Alex, so that, mm-hmm. that does explain it.
Yes, thank you. Dean in Oklahoma. Dean, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, thank you, brothers. So I was talking to someone the other day about explaining how, you know, God went to the end of Alex and Bert and finished it, and then came back to the beginning and formed you in your mother's womb. And so my point is that free will, my understanding is free will is God gave us free will to either choose to serve him, believe in his son, and live for him, and or you live for your father, the devil. And because the free will is not, well, I could be driving down this road and God knows everything, knows what I'm going to do. Well, I could turn around and I tricked him, didn't I? That's not the free will to just do whatever we want that God doesn't know from when we were formed in our mother's womb to the very end of us.
Well, Dean, let me put it this way. And Alex, I want you to comment on it. You may not see it. I don't see us as pawns on a chessboard. Okay.
Well said. Amen.
That's not that. It's deeper. And I think Dean's getting to a deeper a part of it, and you know, yeah, I could find, oh no, not quite, Dean, but others I can. But I just know that we're not pawns on God's chessboard playing around, playing a game with us.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you catch what I'm saying?
You know, this is not a great illustration, but when I was youth pastor at Friendly Avenue, we would have a fall festival, and there was a huge gymnasium, and we all around the wall. Folks, you've seen it many times. We'd have games. We'd have refreshments. And out in the parking lot, we would always rent this thing where you could throw a baseball. There's a guy sitting on a thing. You know what I'm talking about, Bert?
Hey, I've sat on that thing before as a youth minister.
The dunking thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we had a couple of guys, because this is when we had over 100 in our youth group. And I had a couple of guys. In fact, one, he was all-county pitcher. I mean, this guy was a baseball pitcher. All right, whenever we would have the thing, Jason was this boy's name, and I knew he would make, look, it didn't matter, the cupcakes, the refreshments, throwing the dart at the balloon, anything, he would make a beeline. Now, he didn't have to. He could have chosen to do any activity there, but I just knew him well enough to know. I could have, you know what I'm saying, bro?
He is going to make his way to the dunking booth, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Now, here's the sovereignty of God is this big, let's imagine like a big room. And within that room, there are a lot of options. There's the option to do right. There's the option to do wrong. There's the option to enjoy the blessings of God. There's the option to stand over in the corner and pout. And God has given us the free choice to enjoy any of his goodness. And even though we legitimately do have a choice, Bert is right. It's a great way to phrase it. We're not pawns on a chessboard. But just by definition, he knows everything. And still, you know, Norm Geisler would say this, over the doorway of heaven is a sign. It says, whosoever will may come. The human race looks, and everybody sees that sign. Whosoever will may come. And you walk through the door, and on the other side of the wall, it says, chosen in me before the foundation of the world. Anybody that wanted to can come through the door called salvation. And Bert, it is a mystery. D.L. Moody said it's a mystery. C.S. Lewis said, it's like two blades of a pair of scissors. Which blade is the most important? Sovereignty or free will? C.S. Lewis said, well, to have a pair of scissors, you have to have both blades. To have a river, you need both banks. It is, I'll say this, and we're going to go to Quinetta. It's beyond reason, but it's not unreasonable.
That's it. Amen. Have you ever Louisiana, heard, yeah. According to what Dean said, you know, it's like the guy who believed, okay, God did everything, and he stumped his toe, and he said, oh, I'm glad I got that over with. That's not the way it is.
It's not fatalism.
It is not fatalism.
Am I pronouncing your name correctly? Is it Quinetta?
You did perfect. That is exactly right. Yes.
Way to go, Alex.
Well, what a beautiful name.
It is.
Well, thank you so much. I was calling in reference to this same conversation that you were just talking about free will. And I had been thinking about this because so many people call into your program and question about that. I listen to you every day. I drive for Coca-Cola. I'm back and forth all the time. I work. Anyway, you guys are always on the radio. So AFR is, and I catch you guys every day. Anyway, I was thinking about this. So I know God gives us free will. I know this, and I totally believe in that. And I think where people get lost is they think or they say that people that have the free will and they choose not to follow Jesus, then God already knew that. He knew that from the beginning. So why were they created? So in my thought, well, we are all created for a purpose. God created and loves each and every one of us, and each one of us has a purpose. And the most important thing we can do is to choose him. But for those that don't choose him, they probably had a purpose in somebody else's life also, as you know, we go through our lives. So even though he knew that, I know they still have the opportunity to choose, but they were here for a purpose. God's got everyone here for a purpose.
Amen. I agree with that. And listen, Alex, discovering our purpose, you know, is to glorify God. And then you have God's specific will, you know, but purpose is to know him and make him known, glorify him. Amen. Thank you, Quinetta. Amen.
This is coming out just perfectly. Zachary in Colorado. Zachary, thanks for holding.
Hey, thank you so much, Alex and Bert. I have a quick question for you in Matthew 26.
Zach, I know you, brother. God bless you. Thanks for coming.
It is, yeah. Absolutely, Alex. Great to hear your voice and hope to connect with you soon in person.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. I wanted to make a comment about when Jesus said that, let this cup pass before me. In the book of Matthew, it says he prayed three times. Well, we also know that the Apostle Paul prayed three times about his thorn in the flesh. Is there like a correlation between the number three in Scripture, or is it just a coincidence?
I don't believe it's a coincidence, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, every detail of Scripture has a meaning. Augustine said this, every verse of Scripture has a meaning, even if we don't exactly know what that meaning is. You know, he said, and this is like Matthew 26:42, he went away a second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And so, you know, a lot of scholars have said, and Bert, I'm going to say this, and you feel free to agree or disagree. Okay, Christ in his divine nature There was no sin, of course, no failure or anything like that. But in his human nature, which was fully human but not fallen human, and Jesus understands, I think the prospect of the cross was fearful. You know, he sweated drops of blood. That's hemotidrosis. And I think this thing of, if there be any way that this could pass from me, it's just like we in our human frailty, there's plenty of things that I knew were inevitable, but I asked God to make a way. And I think it was his human nature.
I agree with you. And I do think the three with Paul, yes, in other words, and it says in front of two to three and more witnesses, you know, so it's kind of like a witness. This is where I am. You catch? So I think the witness part of it as well. Alex, it's been great. Have a great revival there in Carthage. I'm praying for the revival in Faulkner, Mississippi. And thank you for praying. And tune in next week for more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.